Okay, I'm back, and we're going through the Gospel of According to Mark, and we got to the end, yes. Oh yes, we were talking about, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, and my sister, and my mother. That's why I put such a great emphasis on living my life in a way that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Like I said, my duty, my job description is to do the will of Him. That's it every day. And we should all have that same job description as part of His family. And that's how we know that we're part of His family. And there you have it from the mouth of the Messiah. If you want to be part of His family or the family of God, then whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. So he uses that opportunity to minister. Mark chapter 4 verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. So the ship being like a stage up there on the shore. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. You got the picture. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang out, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, He that hath an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, as just a sample of his teaching, okay, that he was teaching while he was on the ship. He didn't just get on the ship there with the whole crowd and just say that one thing, but Mark's given us a little sample of some of the things that he taught and how he taught in parables. And when he was alone, so now we're changing the scene here. I mean, if we were watching this on a video, that would have a whole change of scene. No longer in the ship, he's alone. And they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said to them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. How many of you like a good mystery? I like a good mystery. And I find in the Word of God, I find some mysteries. But the nice thing about the Word of God is it has all the answers to the mysteries in it. But without His Holy Spirit. So if you're blaspheming or denying the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're never going to see the mysteries, even though they're plain as the nose on your face in His Word. You still won't understand them. They'll be a mystery to you. If you want to understand the mysteries first, you have to allow His Holy Spirit to work in your life and do His job, and that is to convict you of sin. Now, the purpose of convicting of sin is not to make you feel guilty, not to make you feel like a dirty dog, not to make you run and hide from our Creator, but it is to bring you to repentance. It is to bring you into obedience to the will of God. That's right. So you can join His family. Remember, He says, all these that do the will of God, they are my mother and my brother. And, you know, that's who my mother and my brethren are. That's who my family is. That's what He's saying. Whoever does the will of God, they're my family. They want to be part of His family? Well, then you do His will. You allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life to convict you of sin. And then you repent of that sin. And you continue to repent of that sin until you learn to be obedient. You know, we have bad habits. We're creatures of habit. That's a, a fairly popular saying that we're creatures of habit, and we certainly are. And even if the habits are bad, we're still creatures of habit. And that's why we need to learn obedience by practice, by continuing to, and you know, it's a test too. That's right. Will we continue to repent? Will we? Do we want? Do we love God enough? Or is it just too uncomfortable? Too hard? Is it too hard to give up the pleasure of sin? Do we love the things and the pleasures of sin and the things of this life more than we love God? You know, that's really the test. And that's why it takes work. That's what it means to carry the cross in a spiritual sense. We carry the cross. We keep doing the work, no matter how hard it is. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. We continue to repent of those things until we learn obedience. Let's jump back in here. The mystery. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And what do I say? I say, hallelujah. Thank you, because I want to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If there's a mystery in the Bible, I want to figure it out. I want to know what it is. I need to know what it is. It's important for my life. I have a need to know. So it is given, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without. What are they without? The kingdom of God? The answer's right there in the sentence. And without is a legal term. You know, I'll tell you what I am without. I am without the United States. I am without the state of California. Well, those are fictions. Of course, I'm on the land. You know, I'm in a geographical area that they call California, but the state of California is a fiction. It's an image. It only exists in the minds of men. I am without it. I am without the state of California, but I am not without the kingdom of God. It's very important to me that I am one of his family, his brethren, by living a life of obedience to the best of my ability. Yes, that means that doesn't mean that sometimes I don't falter, that sometimes I don't slip back into an old pattern will crop up once in a while where I'll do something that is not of faith, because the scripture says whatever is not of faith is sin. But I'll tell you what does the scripture say? The righteous man falls down 7 times. And he gets back up 7 times. That means every time you fall, you get back up. Now, what does the unrighteous man do? He falls down and he wallers in his sin. And he falls for the temptation. God will never accept you now. And why does he go for that temptation? Because he really loves his sin. He says, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm trying to share with you, my understanding of the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. That's right. That means a parable is, it's a riddle. It's something that you have to figure it out. And then you have to set your mind out to figure it out. If you don't set your mind and your heart to figure it out, guess what? Well, you ain't going to figure it out. It's like, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah, that's the Heavenly Father. Our Father God, our Creator, is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those that want to understand, tell me, explain, open my eyes to the mystery of these parables. Help me to understand what's being said here. Most people don't have time. They're too busy with the cares of this life, but we're going to get to that. So let's get to it. Let's see what the Master has to say. He goes, all things are done in parables that seeing they may see and not perceive. Still like the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, they saw the miracles, but they did not perceive. What was wrong with their brains? And hearing they may not hear, and not understand. Hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said to them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward. And when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Yes, we've all seen that or even experienced it. Well, that ain't working. Oh, God, why are bad things happening? I thought everything was supposed to get better. You know, they believe the popular doctrines, the name it and claim it and prosperity gospel and all the garbage that, Satan's ministers, all the fake, phony, false gospels out there. And then as soon as things go bad, all they do is complain. That's just one example of many examples. There are many examples as there are people that have turned away after receiving the word with joy. Oh yeah, yay, I get to go to heaven when I die. And then trouble comes, tribulation comes, and next thing you know, they're going back on their own devices and looking to the world for help and counting on the government to steal from others to take care of their calamity for them. A tornado or whatever comes, and they're crying out for the government to help them and complaining because they have to eat turkey sandwiches again and they don't get pizza. Yes, those are the people we're talking about. They don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Take heed what you hear, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. You know, this is good advice the Messiah has given us. Take heed what you hear. Don't just hear things and accept them, but take heed. That means listen carefully. Consider the words that you hear. Consider the source that they come from. Weigh them in the balance of truth. Take heed what you hear. And he continues, What measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So whatever judgment you judge others with, well, look out. It's going to come back to you. Judge yourself. Many times the faults that we see in others are the faults that are in us. And rather than just focusing on the others and judging them, we need to use them as a mirror. And it's a good practice when we see faults in others to take a good look at ourselves and say, is that fault in me? The words of the Messiah. First, get the mote or the log out of your own eye. Then you can help your brother to get the sliver out of his. Yes, we need to, when we see faults in others, we need to look at ourselves first before we judge them. Because we will be judged by the same measure. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and that he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that with he which he hath. It always takes me back when I read statements like this from the Messiah or from the Proverbs, because, reading that last verse, it reminded me so much of the wisdom of the Proverbs, to take heed what you hear. There's a lot in that little statement. I mean, that's only, five words? Take heed what you hear. But it's powerful. Like I said, it reminds me of the Proverbs. Listen carefully to the things you hear. Weigh them in the balance. Weigh them in the balance of truth. And think about yourself. Do you say those things? What do you believe about those things? Are they true? And, it's not just what you hear, but it's what you think, too. And before it comes out of your mouth, especially, weigh every word before you speak it. It's not a sin to think something where it may be a sin to say it. That's right. Because we think all manner of things. We need to weigh every thought that goes, where did that come from? You know, is that something I read? Is that something that I picked up without even knowing it? Perhaps in passing, I heard someone else say something and didn't take cognizance of it, but now it's in my brain and here it comes. It's a thought. Where did it come from? Maybe it's demonic. Maybe there's some demon trying to influence me. And somehow I caught wind of a thought he's projecting to me, however that works in the spiritual realm. You know, where did that thought come from? And then we judge it, we weigh it in the balance of truth. And if it doesn't measure up, we rebuke it. Yes, can you rebuke your thoughts? Well, you know, if you weigh them out, they don't measure up to in the balance of truth, you need to rebuke them. I rebuke that thought. And that's another way of repentance. Yes, we've come into an agreement with the truth that that thought is not worthy of rolling out of my mouth and coming off of my lips. It's worthy of judgment. My judgment is that I rebuke it. I don't accept it. So we need to weigh our thoughts. But so it goes not only to what you hear, what you think and what you speak. And I get that from the Proverbs. That's why I said this statement. These five words from the Master, there's a lot there. If you dive in deep and you consider them. But this one here in chapter 4, verse 25, is equally as deep. He that hath, to him shall be given. And that he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Now, if you have, you're going to be given more, right? But if you have not, even what you have shall be taken. You know, that's a riddle. That's a parable. You know, that's the kind of stuff I like. I want to figure this out. I want to understand this. And I believe that the Heavenly Father, by His Holy Spirit, has given me understanding of this. You know, and the answer is in the Word. The Word says that all good things come from God. I believe that. All good things come from God. So that means if there's anything good, it comes from God. It's a gift from Him. We're born into this world, and by the grace of God, we enjoy good. The first thing we do is we cry out, and we're comforted. And then we're hungry, and we cry out. The comfort is good, and we're given food to eat. It's good. We enjoy the food. It makes us stop crying, you know? It's good. It's the gift of God. It's the grace of God. It's a gift from Him. It did come out of us. And then I look around the world and trying to understand what this statement here means, that the Messiah says, from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken. And I consider all of the evil men in the world, that everything's going to be taken from them one day. All the good that they experienced in their life is a gift from God. And some of them are even audacious enough to say, I'm a good man. Certainly I'm not going to go to hell. I've heard it over and over, how people justify themselves by saying, I'm a good man. And how do they do that? How do they justify themselves by saying, I'm a good man? Certainly God's not going to let me go to hell. You know how they do that? Because they look at men that are notoriously wicked. And they think in their hearts, I'm not like that man. I'm not like Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not like whoever. I'm not like those homosexuals over there that are notoriously evil. I'm not like the baby killers and the abortionists. And I'm not like that. So they're judging themselves against, an earthly standard. And they think, I'm a good man. Well, you know what that is? We're speaking about blaspheming. Well, that's a blasphemy of a sort. Because when they say, I'm a good man, remember I said the scripture says all good things come from God? They're taking the gift of God and they're attributing it to themselves. And that's the good that they have, is a gift from God. And God says, you're going to lose that. So we read it with that understanding, and it makes a little more sense. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And what does that mean? He that adds to what God has given him. That's right. Because God gives us good things, and any good in our life, any good that we do, we can only attribute to Him. And if we increase that through obedience to His Holy Spirit, then we have more. And so To him that hath, more shall be given. From him that hath not. From him that hath not what? From him that hath not increased that which God has given him. But he's going to rest on the gift of God. And he's going to attribute it to himself. Yeah, I'm good. I'm a good man. That's called self-righteousness. And it's filthy rags, he says. Because any good in your life, well, the good isn't filthy rags. It's a gift from God. It didn't come out of you. It's a gift from him. So there you have it. So is the kingdom of God. And we'll pick up there when we get back. Stay tuned for the news.